Love is the way. We walk in gratitude. And in gratitude we come to love and honor our friend, our brother, our teacher. Bill Thetford, as all of you who knew him will say, was a minimalist. With him, the less the better. And it was quite a perceived conflict for those of us who love him as you do to try to feel how we can best express that love today in his style. You will notice, but and we hope and we pray that those of us who speak for you will indeed be doing just that. Every one of you, every one of us, has wonderful memories to share. And we will keep on doing just that. Today, we begin with the most important facet of Bill Thetford to all of us. His ability to let the voice speak through him, to suspend his ego, and to let the inner voice be heard.
The peace of God is shining in me now. Why wait for heaven? Those who seek the light are merely covering their eyes. The light is in them now. Enlightenment is but a recognition, not a change at all. Light is not of the world, yet you who bear the light in you are alien here as well. The light came with you from your native home and stayed with you because it is your own. It is the only thing you bring with you from him who is your source. It shines in you because it lights your home and leads you back to where it came from, and you are at home. This light cannot be lost. Why wait to find it in the future, or believe it has been lost already, or was never there? It can so easily be looked upon that arguments which prove it is not there become ridiculous. Who can deny the presence of what he beholds in him? It is not difficult to look within, for there all vision starts. There is no sight, be it of dreams or from a truer source, that is not but the shadow of the seen through inward vision. There perception starts, and there it ends. It has no source but this. The peace of God is shining in you now, and from your heart extends around the world. It pauses to caress each living thing, and leaves a blessing with it that remains forever and forever. What it gives must be eternal. It removes all thoughts of the ephemeral and valueless. It brings renewal to all tired hearts and lights all vision as it passes by. All of its gifts are given everyone, and everyone unites in giving thanks to you who give and you who have received. The shining in your mind reminds the world of what it has forgotten, and the world restores the memory to you as well. From you, salvation radiates with gifts beyond all measure, given and returned. To you, the giver of the gift, does God himself give thanks. And in his blessing does the light in you shine brighter, adding to the gifts you have to offer to the world. The peace of God can never be contained. Who recognizes it within himself must give it. And the means for giving it are in his understanding. He forgives because he recognized the truth in him. The peace of God is shining in you now and in all living things. In quietness is it acknowledged universally. For what your inward vision looks upon is your perception of the universe. Sit quietly and close your eyes. The light within you is sufficient. It alone has power to give the gift of sight to you. Exclude the outer world and let your thoughts fly to the peace within. They know the way. For honest thoughts, untainted by the dream of worldly things outside yourself, become the holy messengers of God Himself. These thoughts you think with Him. They recognize their home, and they point surely to their source, where God the Father and the Son are one. God's peace is shining on them, but they must remain with you as well, for they were born within your mind as yours was born in God's. They lead you back to peace from where they came, but to remind you how you must return. They heed your Father's voice when you refuse to listen, and they urge you gently to accept His word for what you are, instead of fantasies and shadows. They remind you that you are the co-creator of all things that live. For as the peace of God is shining in you, it must shine on them. We practice coming nearer to the light in us today. We take our wandering thoughts and gently bring them back to where they fall in line with all the thoughts we share with God. We will not let them stray. We let the light within our minds direct them to come home. We have betrayed them, ordering that they depart from us. But now we call them back and wash them clean of strange desires and disordered wishes. We restore to them the holiness of their inheritance. Thus are our minds restored with them, and we acknowledge that the peace of God still shines in us and from us to all living things that share our life. We will forgive them all, absolving all the world from what we thought it did to us, for it is we who make the world as we would have it. Now we choose that it be innocent, devoid of sin, and open to salvation. And we lay our saving blessing on it as we say, "The peace of God is shining in me now. Let all things shine upon me in that peace, and let me bless them with the light in me."
Ken.
I'm not a body. I am free, for I'm still as God created me. It's hard for me to read those words in the Course without smiling to myself, despite the fact that those words are so serious and certainly constitute one of the most important themes in the Course. When I first joined Helen Bill up at the Medical Center in New York City in 1973, we began to do the workbook together, meeting every morning early in Bill or Helen's office, and do a lesson, usually with Bill doing the reading. As most of you know, Helen was quite preoccupied with the body, especially with thoughts of getting sick, or those loved ones close to her getting sick. And when the time came for us to do the review lessons, of which that's the central theme, "I'm not a body, I'm free, for I'm still as God created me," one of us, and I think it was Bill, retranslated that for us into, "I am a body, I am sick, hurry, call a doctor quick." And all of us who know Bill recognize what a wonderful sense of humor he had. So again, it's always difficult for me to look at those lines without smiling to myself. I just want to share a couple of thoughts about those early years up at the medical center, which, as you know, was the birthplace of the Course in Miracles. The Course emphasizes how the Holy Spirit teaches through contrast. And I think I had one of the most shocking lessons of that when I first joined Helen and Bill up there. It was not a very peaceful place, both inside or outside, and both Helen and Bill experienced a great deal of turmoil, as you know. And the contrast for me between that and the fact that this is where the Course had its birth, and even more so, that despite all the difficulty that Helen and Bill had, there was in both of them a deep, abiding sense and a faith that somehow things would turn out all right. And it was usually Bill who was able to vocalize that much more than Helen. Bill always had that deep faith, whether it had to do with going down to the Metropolitan Opera House at 7 o'clock at night to a sold-out performance, and somehow knowing that a man would walk up to him and sell him two tickets, orchestra center, or whether it was on a higher level, that somehow that whole mess up there would work out. And I think that deep faith that Bill had, again, despite all the difficulties that went on, that somehow the Holy Spirit would work through him to bring to fruition the wonderful work that was begun to both of them in bringing the Course in Miracles to the world. So I know I speak for all of us here in echoing the words Judy began with, that love is a way that we walk in gratitude. I think all of us feel a deep sense of gratitude to Bill for being for us that living presence and that loving presence of that deep faith in God, knowing that his peace would somehow cover all the difficulties and all the strains. So on behalf of all of us, I thank you, Bill. Thank you.
I am not a body. I am free, for I am still as God created me. I will be still an instant and go home. Why would I choose to stay an instant more where I do not belong, when God himself has given me his voice to call me home? On May 29th, 1975, at exactly noon, I was rushing through the busy streets of New York City with a friend to meet some strangers. My friend had already been introduced to Dr. William Thetford of Columbia Presbyterian Medical Center, and Bill had invited him to visit his office to meet Helen Schuckman and Kenneth Wapnick there. I was a tag-along. The plans were to be on the second floor of the Black Building, where they worked, to gather for lunch. We were hurrying so as not to be late, and as we approached the crowded midday masses, I was surprised to see Bill quietly waiting outside in front of the building entrance. "Why, there he is. But I thought we were going to meet him upstairs on the second floor," I said to my friend. My friend stopped running in astonishment. "You're so right, Judy," he said. "That is Dr. Thetford. But how do you know? You've never seen him." Since that day in 1975, there have been countless times Bill and I have recognized and acknowledged our family connection. It was this deep familiarity, comfort, and trust upon which our relationship was based, which smoothed the way when I struggled to apply the principles of A Course in Miracles. Humor, gentleness, and simplicity were the traits this master teacher demonstrated to me. Once, when I was visiting in California in the earliest phase of studying the course, I chose to have a monumental, horrendous ego attack, projecting all my negative emotions upon my very dear friend, Jerry Jampolsky. Poor Jerry had no idea why I was so rageful and out of control, and neither did I. I wanted to stop, but nothing seemed to help. And so in desperation, I telephoned Bill in New York City, where he and I were still living at the time. I ranted and I raved and I launched into a description of what I perceived as Jerry's multitudinous faults. Bill listened until I totally ran out of breath. Then he said, oh, so quietly, "You know, Judy, the course can be summed up in just 8 words. Are you willing to see your brother sinless?" "No," I screamed. "Well, dear," he replied, "when you are, you'll feel much better." And he hung up. And he was right. Yesterday, I was speaking with an old friend of Bill's from his days at Columbia. This precious colleague had been the first person with whom Bill shared the beginnings of the course. He was reminiscing about those days, and he said, "You know, I just can't believe that the fearful Bill, who smoked 5 packs of cigarettes a day and constantly drank black coffee while we pored over the early lessons in the workbook, is the same gentle and loving and peaceful Bill we know now. I guess the course must work." And that summed up exactly what I wanted to say about Bill Thetford. From the depth of his being, he cried out for a better way. Helen joined him in mind, and she scribed a better way. And then Bill spent the rest of his days learning and practicing it. It certainly didn't come easy, but he persevered. The night of July 3rd, he seemed so unusually ebullient, and he announced to me, "I'm flexible. I'm finally flexible. What do you mean, Bill? I said. Well, I mean I'm not rigid anymore. How so? He smiled broadly. He extended his arms like this. He danced around the room. A few exuberant steps, and he announced, I'm free. All my relationships feel so wonderfully peaceful. Bill had finally changed his mind and acknowledged his better way. The next morning, July 4th, after meditation, he set out from our house for a walk. A few minutes later, Bill was still an instant and went home. Happiness, sweet William. Please wait for me. I love you so much, and thanks. Jerry.
I am not a body. I am free, for I am still as God created me. I want the peace of God. The peace of God is everything that I want. It is my one goal, the aim of all my living here, the end I seek, my purpose, my function, and my life, while I abide where I'm not at home. Before July 4th, I felt I had some sense of the impact that Bill has had on my life and others. But in reflecting since July 4th, it's very clear that the effect that he's had on me and everyone is just beyond anything that anyone could possibly put in words. I remember when Judy first introduced the course to me and that initial feeling that this was my way home, but I had the riptide come up immediately. Who are these two characters that supposedly were the scribes? And I was looking forward to meeting them so I could discredit them and not get involved in this thing called A Course in Miracles. And of course, in meeting Bill, it wasn't what he said or anything about that. It was just his presence, the integrity that everyone could see in him, his trust, his gentleness. And I knew, without asking any questions about the course, that there was validity, even though I didn't understand how the course came in being and how Helen and Bill were chosen, that I knew that this was my way and that he was going to be my brother. And I am so blessed that I had the relationship that I had, because he taught me what brotherhood was all about, what unconditional love was all about. I remember with fondness the many times being in New York with Judy and Bob and Ken and Bill and Helen, and the many trials, the many tensions, and the many joys that we experienced there. And I know it was always, hearing the story over and over again, it's always beyond my comprehension how Helen and Bill could persist in doing what they did in terms of bringing the Course of Miracles under the situations that they were living in at that point. They really demonstrated that that miracles are really possible. I feel very blessed that I feel I was the cause for Bill coming to California, that I think he saw me as a special assignment and came to help me with my insanity. And I don't know when he moved to San Diego whether I graduated or whether he just gave up. My two sons were very affected by Bill. And their lifestyle and what was going on in their lives were really beyond Bill's comprehension. And Bill was really confused and really didn't understand what to do, but he spent a lot of time with them. And it was very difficult for Bill until the last 2 years to really understand it wasn't what he said, that it was his presence that was important. And that's what affected my sons and me. I remember with fondness so many times that Judy and I and Bill were on the platform really feeling the light of God within us and getting off that platform and finding a need to get grounded, and the many times we got grounded by having a hot fudge sundae. That really grounded the ego very, very quickly. I was blessed in really having a chance to be with Bill. I met him at the airport, and there was a traffic jam. We couldn't, usually it takes 50 minutes to go to Tiburon. Took 2.5 hours on the third. And Bill was concerned that it was taking about the traffic, that I wasn't, because it was a wonderful opportunity for me to have this time with Bill and like Judy, and I had dinner with him that night with Catherine Riggs. And like Judy, I've never saw him so exuberant, so talkative. He didn't mention that he was free, but he told me that he was flexible. And to me, that meant that he was free. And his humor was absolutely all there, and he felt a real sense of lightness and joy that I had not really experienced in Bill before. In Bill's wallet was a card that I think really demonstrates Bill. You know, he had a card made not too long ago, and it doesn't say Dr. Bill Thetford or PhD. It just says Bill Thetford. And those of you who are as old as I am might remember an old radio program called Just Plain Bill. And to me, this is what Bill was really all about. I was blessed that he spent so much time at the Center of Attitudinal Healing on the board. It wasn't always a joyful task, but when he made a commitment, he just went all the way. Of all the one-liners that he has shared, the one that I like the best, that I like to share today, is that heaven is my only real estate.
Francis. I'm not a body, I'm free, I'm still as God created me. I feel the love of God within me now. The love of God within me sets me free. I first met Bill in 1976, and it was an example in my mind of when a student is ready, a teacher appears. Because the first time I met Bill, I didn't pay much attention. I just thought this was another visitor from New York. But the second time I met him, I really saw him. And I was astounded by the light that I experienced as coming through him. And there was something about his simplicity, his nothing specialness, and at the same time, the love and the kindness and the generosity of spirit, the humor, that really touched me deeply. And I felt incredibly blessed by his presence in my life for many years. When he moved to Tiburon, I felt that this was really a gift from the universe, because it enabled me to spend a lot of time with him. Over a period of years, we would see each other many times a week, and he was a very important mentor to me. And one of the things about Bill that I think perhaps not everyone saw was his incredible knowledge and understanding of psychology, philosophy, comparative religions. He was extraordinarily erudite and well-read, and he never flaunted his intellectual brilliance, and yet he really had an understanding, a universal understanding of human beings and the way we grow and change. And he was a tremendous teacher and influence in my life in terms of my particular interest or my heart's desire, which has been to bring together spirituality and psychology. And for me, I couldn't have had a finer teacher. Truly, his presence in my life has made a tremendous difference and been a very, very deep influence, not only professionally, but also personally as well. He certainly taught me a lot about relationships and a lot about relationship counseling, a lot about what it really means to work with healing the mind, and how truly we are healed as we let him teach us to heal. And one of the prayers that I remember Bill reading with, and I can still hear his voice in my mind, is one that I'd like to read now. Father, we do not know the way to you, but we have called and you have answered us. We will not interfere. Salvation's ways are not our own, for they belong to you, and it is unto you we look for them. Our hands are open to receive your gifts. We have no thoughts we think apart from you, and cherish no beliefs of what we are or who created us. Yours is the way that we would find and follow, and we ask but that your will, which is our own as well, be done in us and in the world, that it become a part of heaven now. Amen. Roger.
What priceless gifts we've been given. Bill has blessed us in so many ways with three in particular with the privilege of knowing him, with the priceless gift of the Course, and with each other, the community of people here and around the world practicing this wonderful material. As Francis said, Bill was a psychologist and an extraordinarily good one. In psychology of late, there's been a great interest in adult development and the stages that people go through. One of the things that's becoming apparent is that people, as they enter the second half of their lives and the latter part of their lives, turn attention more and more towards the question of what legacy will I leave, and devote enormous amounts of energy to creating that legacy and identifying themselves with it. Bill's life was a model of the opposite. He'd already created a legacy, left us with a legacy of priceless worth, and worked very hard to make sure he wasn't identified with it. I think for each of us, probably Bill symbolized some particular quality or strength or attribute that embodies some of the spiritual qualities we're trying to practice. And perhaps afterwards it would be interesting for us to share the particular quality that he embodied for each of us. For me, the most important thing was that he was a model of someone really trying to practice the Course. He could have been symbolized so many things. He could have symbolized an extraordinarily successful psychologist, a really successful person in the world. He could have been a spiritual symbol, a symbol of someone who was the source and creator of this most important spiritual text. But what I find that he most importantly symbolized for me was that someone trying very humbly and unpretentiously to learn and practice the material. And he didn't do any of the things that I'd assumed were part of making an important spiritual contribution. He didn't run around lecturing or appearing on TV. He didn't give interviews. He didn't write books or papers on the Course. He stayed at home most of the time, simply studied it, and tried to make his relationships holy. And that, I find, is just an extraordinary example. And of course, he gave us the Course itself. As Ken Wilber, who was a student of the Course and probably has studied the world's spiritual traditions as much as anyone in the world, said, this Course is on a par with as anything that has hit this planet. And that's an extraordinary statement from someone who knows the world's spiritual traditions as well as Ken Wilber does. It's a spiritual teaching that's sold about 500,000 copies and is being translated into numerous languages now. It's probably has profoundly influenced our lives and hundreds of thousands of others. And it's amazing to think that it's probably only just barely begun to have its impact. And who can even conceive of what impact it will have years or decades or perhaps centuries from now? I can't even imagine it. And finally, Bill gave us the priceless gift of each other, of this community of practitioners here, gathered here together, and around the world, trying to embody, to incarnate this material. Trying to remember that we are one in love, and that in your brother you but see yourself, and that it is impossible to overestimate the worth of your brother. How could we possibly overestimate the worth of Bill? Truly, we've been blessed by him. Bill, holy are you, eternal, free, and whole, at peace forever in the heart of God. Where is the world, and where is sorrow now?
Jules.
I am not a body, I am free, for I am still as God created me. I am speaking today not because of who Bill was and what he did, as significant as that is, but because of his love, a love which touched me deeply, which touched us all deeply. Bill made an effort to see only love and to teach only love. He was determined to let go of his judgments of others, to not try to change them, to not buy into their fears, but to be aware only of their underlying love and to send them his love. Over the years, I watched his effort grow from a little willingness to consistent commitment. Bill took seriously one of his favorite quotes from the Course: "The holiest of all the spots on earth is where an ancient hatred has become a present love. May Bill's love always be a comfort